Welcome to this podcast edition of Economic Perspectives. I'm Hopeton Hay, the host. Economic Perspectives airs every Monday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. on KAZI 88.7 FM.
On Saturday, May 22nd, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., the Setup for Success Summit is being hosted by the Lone Star Texas Lynx chapter, and this event will be totally virtual. And welcome to Economic Perspectives, Vanessa Henry, Vice President of Programs and past chapter president, Pamela Cotton from the Lone Star Texas Lynx chapter. And welcome to Economic Perspectives.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
So what was the source of the motivation to do the Setup for Success Summit, which is really all about entrepreneurship, Black wealth and investing, and personal financing?
I will share my story, and thank you for the question. It is one of personal journey. I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee, with the middle class, in a middle class family. And although my family talked a lot about making money, we really didn't talk a lot about investing or 401ks, IRAs, or cash flow, those types of things. So, I started my first business in second grade, selling candy to other students, and then had my first job at 12 years old. So making money was never an issue, but it wasn't until I became an adult that, I really started to think about what I was doing with the money I was making. And as I learned more, I wanted to share what I was learning with others in the community. So this is a conversation that the chapter has been wanting to have for some time, and really just helping to transform our community through knowledge and education, and making sure that we are transforming the environment that we live in and building generational wealth.
And Pamela, you are working for a credit union, so this is definitely in your wheelhouse.
It definitely is in my wheelhouse, and I was fortunate enough to start with the credit union about 34 years ago, and I currently serve as Vice President of Member Services. So I have a lot of background in that area, and I see a lot of the need for us to have this exact type of summit that we're currently embarking upon. And so just seeing the need for people understanding finance, budgeting, and developing wealth or establishing wealth is very important. And like Vanessa said, growing up, you didn't really learn those types of things. And I do see now a generation of people who are actually stepping into that arena a little bit more. And that's our goal here as a chapter. And just a little bit about the Lone Star Texas chapter of Lynx Incorporated. We chartered in April of 2014, but the Lynx Incorporated was established in 1946. So it's been around for a while. It's one of the nation's largest volunteer service organizations, largest and oldest. And we engage in the educational, civic, and intercultural activities. So we're influential decision makers, opinion leaders, and we're distinguished achievers, as you can see with Vanessa herself. And that's what we do. We serve Williamson and Bell County. And so we're excited about the summit that's coming up and looking to help actually the African-American community, get them in this arena a little bit more and understand wealth, finances, budgeting, and a lot better, so that we're a little more independent and not so dependent upon other social services and things like that.
Yes. So speaking of influential leaders, you're going to be opening up with Round Rock City Councilwoman Hilda Montgomery. Talk about the decision to have this distinguished city councilwoman open up the event.
Well, we're excited about Hilda. She was the first African-American member of the city council in the city of Round Rock. And we wanted to have a personal perspective, or kind of have it specific to our area. So she's the perfect person to kind of give us some insight on economic development, things that are happening here in our community.
And Vanessa, go ahead, Vanessa.
No, I was going to echo that. You know, when we think about all of the economic development and development opportunities that are happening in this area, it's something that we want to make sure our community is actively participating in. So, you know, how do we connect them to resources or keep them informed of investment opportunities, development opportunities, so that we can participate in what's happening in Central Texas?
And Vanessa, I was going to ask you to take the lead and talk a little bit about the other distinguished speaker you're going to have, the great Tab Hawkins, CEO and president of the Great Austin Black Chamber of Commerce.
Yes, we are excited to have Tam come in and just talk about the state of wealth in Central Texas. So to my point earlier, there are lots of developments happening in this area. And fortunately, you know, my husband is in commercial real estate. So he tells me about all of the cranes that are going up in downtown Austin and, you know, even in the Round Rock and Hutto and Leander and Cedar Park area. So we, again, want to make sure that people are aware of the opportunities, the companies that are moving here, not just so that they can become employees of those companies, but so that they can think about entrepreneurial endeavors that they may want to take part of or investment opportunities that they can take part of. As Central Texas grows, so will the number of dollars coming into this area. So we want to make sure that people have information, whether they want to start a business or they want to look at something more passive to earn income. But we want to make sure that they have that information so that they can participate. And Tam will be able to provide some context in terms of where we are as an African-American community and what's happening in the community overall within this area.
And Pamela, anything you want to add about Tam Hawkins?
Actually, I'm excited to see what she's going to bring to the table, being the executive director of the Greater Austin Black Chamber of Commerce. So I think she'll be a great resource and add a lot of information to our summit.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Economic Perspectives on KAZI 88.7 FM. I'm Hopton Hay.
My guests are Vanessa Henry, Vice President of Programs for the Lone Star Links Chapter, and Pamela Cotton, past president of the chapter based in Williamson and Bell County.
And so you're covering entrepreneurship, Black wealth investing, and personal finances. Where can one get more information about the event online?
Yeah, so the Lone Star chapter has a pretty active website that we encourage anyone who's interested to visit our website. And it's I will provide the web address, but you can also follow us on Facebook or Instagram. We have information posted about the event there as well. So those are probably the two best sources to find information. The web address is lonestarlinksinc.org. That's lonestarlinksinc.org.
And how do we find you on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter?
Yes. So our Facebook handle is, I think you should be able to search by Lone Star Links and find the Facebook page. I don't have the handle for Instagram off the top of my head.
It's Lone Star Texas Chapter Links.
Okay.
And you'll find us there.
All right. Very good. So, Pamela, when we talk about wealth and investing, and we talk about entrepreneurship, actually, fundamentally, it all starts with banking and budgeting, because once you find a job, you have to manage that money right to actually have money to invest and actually have money to put into a business. So based on the incredible experience you've had and with the credit union, Pamela, What are some of the tips that you will be sharing or that will be shared at this event?
Yes, well, that's a great point. And we definitely understand that it starts with the basics of budgeting, finance, because you do have to have the funds to in order to get to that point. So the great thing about our summit is that we're going to touch on all of those subjects, and we'll even have breakout sessions for attendees to, they can choose two of those, and they'll be able to interact with the speaker very specifically, pose those questions. But as you asked me, it starts with budgeting. And so we're going to talk about budgeting. You start small. You know, you might think, oh, I'll never get $2,000 or $5,000 or whatever I need to start my small business. But if you start small, you take it in chunks, that's obviously a better way for you to get that going. So when you think, I never have any money left at the end of the month. But if you start small and you build up, you'll definitely get to those points. And then you'll get to where you find yourself able to maybe do some small investing or get the funds that you need to start that business that you've been thinking about. So we're excited to share great tips to tell our attendees how they can get to those points.
Vanessa, what is the advice you would give you? You're a very successful professional, you and your husband. What are some of the traps that advice you would give for people? Some of the traps you can fall into when you're a successful professional and think you have all the money in the world to spend.
Yeah. So another part of my story was, you know, after I graduated from high school, my parents, in wanting me to have the best education possible, sent me to university. And I did not know, we never had a conversation about student loans. So although I had a scholarship for full tuition, I still graduated with roughly $45,000 in student loans, which was the beginning of my debt journey. So to answer your question, I think one of the things that a lot of people fall into is they make money and they may have a good salary, but that balance of income versus debt is one of the things that I think is very important for our community to understand. The other thing that kind of falls along with that is just opportunity cost. I'm someone who likes nice things. I love to travel. I love fine dining. But when I'm not looking at my budget, it's easy to overspend in areas and not really think about how I'm saving or how I'm investing. So part of the conversation is not to not enjoy life and not to have a great time, but to really think about, you know, the long game, right? How are you thinking about retirement or leaving assets for your children or your children's children? So those are some of the things that from a behavior perspective, we want to make sure we're introducing and kind of getting people to think about. So, yeah.
And Pamela, one of the things that's interesting is the Federal Reserve System does a survey of consumer finances every 3 years. And that survey reveals what the median net worth is for families by race. Mm-hmm. And the thing that's really strange is if you look at the gap between Black median household income and white median household income, Black median household income might be 60% or 55% of white median household income. But when you look at wealth, the disparity is much, much, much bigger. Mm-hmm. Black wealth is typically 8-9% of white wealth. So I think the last survey I looked at, I think median Black wealth was 17,000 and median white wealth was 170,000 or something to that degree. And so while the gap isn't that big, Pamela, when it comes to, well, it is big, but the gap on wealth is huge. How did we get, in your opinion, Pamela, how did we get to that point and how can we close that wealth gap that is much, much bigger than the income gap?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting question. I think it's access. you know, the disparities between the communities are very obvious. And, you know, now today there are things that are in place. People are taking action and getting plugged in to the things that get you to wealth, financial wealth, and being able to invest. But I would say that we just didn't have that access. We didn't have the knowledge. And I think this is the opportunity for us now to expose people to those opportunities where they're able to see this is what's available. This is what we need to do. This is how we get there. As Vanessa stated earlier, growing up, those things, you just didn't participate in them. So even in the credit union industry, there are a lot of people that aren't even aware of, you know, what a credit union is, for example. How they don't even have savings accounts. So, you know, they hold on to their money, pay their bills in cash. You know, it's just a matter of people getting access and knowing what's out there, giving them the opportunity to understand this is how it works. And this is primary in our organization. We want our fellow African Americans to understand this is what's there. This is what's available. Let's take part. Let's get involved and let's start developing for ourselves the type of wealth that you see others and close that gap so that there isn't such a large gap.
And I think there's an obvious kind of, at least within our community, an understanding of systemic inequalities that have existed in the past, right? So with regards to housing, redlining, subprime loans, all of those historical, having the historical context is important to understand how the gap started. There are inequalities in pay, and there are lots of surveys that are done with regards to that. We talk about the income gap. But again, you know, if we want to focus on how do we start to solve the problem, it starts with empowering our community with knowledge, changing behaviors for things that we can control with regards to spending and saving, how we circulate our dollars within our community, how we support Black businesses. Those are parts of the conversation that we can control and that we really want to emphasize through our conversation in the summit.
And I think the other thing I did want to bring up, and I'm glad you brought up systemic inequality, systemic racism, my words, is the predatory lending has stripped a lot of wealth out of the Black community. The predatory lenders have targeted the Black and brown community. And that has been extremely expensive in terms of if you're in a dire financial situation, you need $1,000, you may run to the payday lender to try to get that loan. And in theory, if you pay it right back, and you only go there because, frankly, you got to work with the credit unions. I mean, that's, to me, honestly, Pamela, the credit unions are incredible, absolutely incredible. They're cheaper. Their interest is in their members. But what I think the challenge is that if people aren't aware of it, or they, you know, have had some tough times, which have put them in a bad sustained situation where the only source of capital they have available are predatory lenders. And that can be just such an incredible trap to get caught in. To what degree do you look to provide education or will you provide some education on how to avoid the predatory lender trap? And I'll just add one more thing. Even on the mortgage lending side, one of the things I learned was that people were getting mortgage loans for interest rates higher than they actually qualified for because entities benefited or got bigger commission by getting people to get the higher interest rate loans.
Yes, that was definitely, you mentioned two big things, predatory lending and even in the mortgage arena. There have been regulations developed. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau was established to kind of help alleviate some of that. But yes, I see it time and time again through unfortunate members in the credit union who they were desperate, as you say, and they go to the closest thing, and you see the predatory lending businesses in our areas, in the lower income areas, and they prey on those people who are desperate for money. You know, I got to get groceries. I got to get the rent paid, whatever, but I need, just give me $1,000. And you end up paying back so much money. And so just being able to help people in those situations. And as you said, credit unions are not for profit. They are out to help the members. So when you join a credit union, you're a member. So you're not just a customer. So you have a vested interest in the credit union, and everything we do is to help the member. So we have lower interest rates on our loans. We pay better dividends on your account, that type of thing. But it definitely helps a member to come and maybe try to get $1,000, even if their credit score isn't the greatest. They can still get a loan, maybe pay a little bit more interest, but it's far below what they would pay a predatory lender, who sometimes you'll see, you know, 70-100% of what they borrow has to be paid back, if not more. So I was really fortunate to join the credit union and learn some of these things really early. But we are excited to get this information out in another arena, and hopefully we'll get a lot of people to join so that they understand that. Stay away from those predatory lenders. And then you think of the mortgage industry that you mentioned, and I hate to use the car salesman, but unfortunately that's kind of what it is. You know, it's about them making the money and putting you in a position that they know 6 months to a year down the line, you're not going to be able to handle it. And what happens at that point, it's your problem. So it's definitely important for people to get this information, understand now this is what it takes to get you to where, hey, someday you'll be able to start your own business. You'll be successful, and then your children follow that. It's one of the things that thankfully I was able to teach my son. I have a son who graduated college. He's now working in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And one of the things I tried to teach him was, okay, you now have a job. Once he got his degree, he basically got a job, then he got another job, doubled his salary. So here's what's important. You have all that money. Don't just go spend, have a great time. Let's talk about how you're going to put money away, save for something. And guess what? He's already purchased his first home. He's not even 27 years old. So it's one of those things that makes you proud. And that's what we would like to do to our in our community, is to teach people, this is how you build financial wealth. This is how you establish yourself, get plugged into things that are that'll give you more opportunity than you could ever imagine, and build that wealth that's going to pass from you to your children, to your children's children, and on. And I think that it's a great start. We just have to get it out there.
So Vanessa, I do want you to talk a bit about your experience as an entrepreneur, starting at such a tender young age as an entrepreneur, and what that experience being an entrepreneur so young taught you about entrepreneurship that you find valuable today.
Yeah. So I started my first business in the second grade selling candy, and it was something that I truly enjoyed. I enjoyed every aspect of it, from developing a marketing plan, you know, acquiring customers, you know, managing my product, you know, what I was selling to my customers. That everything about it, the freedom that came along with it, were all things from an early age I developed a passion around. So fast track to current day, I got my master's from University of Texas, McCombs, in technology commercialization. My profession is within engineering. So I've moved from candy to technology and how we go to market with different technology solutions. And I'm a corporate entrepreneur is what we call it. So someone who works on developing concepts within a framework of a corporation, a large corporation. But on the side, my husband and I also do a lot of things and have a lot of business concepts that we manage. Everything about entrepreneurship resonates with me, the freedom that it brings, really solving problems. And then I also enjoy working with other small businesses to help them grow and thrive. I think small businesses, especially African-American businesses, are the backbone of our community. And I am all for supporting entrepreneurs, business owners in their endeavors. And I encourage that for everyone, right, to support our small businesses.
And so coming up Saturday, May 22nd, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., the Setup for Success Summit hosted by the Lone Star Texas Lynx Chapter. With me today has been Vanessa Henry, Vice President of Programs for the Lone Star Texas Lynx Chapter, and past chapter president, Pamela Cotton. The keynote speech will be given by Tam Hawkins, CEO and President of the Great Austin Black Chamber of Commerce. And the opening speech will be given by Round Rock City Councilwoman Hilda Montgomery. And I'm going to ask once again for you guys to share online information where they can get more information.
Our website is LoneStarLinksInc.org. And our Facebook is the Lone Star Texas Chapter of the Lynx Incorporated.
Vanessa and Pamela, you guys are such an incredible wealth of information, and the work of the Lone Star Texas Lynx Chapter is incredibly important to our community. So thank you so much for being guests on Economic Perspectives.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for listening to Economic Perspectives on KAZI 88.7 FM. I'm Hopeton Hay, your host. Coming up next are the Blues. Have a great evening.